We're doing all the New Testament commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're going to figure out what they are. So my gut's telling me maybe 150. But we'll see. So we're just doing them as they occur. As we start through the New Testament, we're still in Matthew. We've looked at 18 so far. That got us all the way through Matthew chapter 10. And the first 18, I'll give you a review. Number one, follow Jesus. Number two, shine for Jesus. Number three, do not kill. Number four, forgive or reconcile. Number five, do not commit adultery. Number six, no divorce except for fornication. Number seven, don't swear. Number eight, no evil for evil and love your enemies. Number nine, be perfect or godly or holy. Number 10, pray and fast. Number 11, give and don't covet. Number 12, trust the Lord. Don't worry, be content. Number 13, put God and His kingdom first. Number 14, judge not. Number 15, Jesus calls it the royal law. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and love your neighbors yourself. Number 16, enter at the straight gate. In other words, be saved. Number 17, beware of false prophets. So study the word so you can be prepared. Number 18 last week, don't fear man, but fear God. So number 19, 20, and 21 are all found in Matthew 11, verses the passage we looked at last Sunday morning, verses 28 and 29. So somebody read those to get us started, and then we'll pray. Volunteers read Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Thank you, Amber. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your word. And Lord, as we learn your commandments, may it be our desire to obey and follow them. You said your commandments are not grievous. They're good for us, and I pray that that would be our attitude. And as we learn them and commit them to our lives, Lord, that we will live a blessed life of obedience. And so, Lord, we pray you'd bless our time in your word now to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So come unto me, we've already looked at as one of the commandments. But then he says there in verse 29, learn of me. Learn of me. So the Lord is commanding us to learn of Him. Amen? That's an important commandment for us as believers, that we learn of Jesus. Now, all of this started, if you go to Luke 24, just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, He spent some time with some of the disciples teaching them about Himself. They were a lot more open to learning once Christ had risen from the dead, because things really began to fit now and make sense for them. So notice Luke 24, verse 27, it says, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So this is Jesus teaching the disciples, and it says he expounded. That's what teachers and preachers of God's word are supposed to do. They're supposed to expound the word. But notice what he expounded them about. Himself. Things concerning himself. So he took them to all they had was the Old Testament at this point. He went to the Old Testament and said, this is me. This is teaching about me. This is pointing to me. Wouldn't you have loved to be there? And then over in verse 44, same chapter. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So there it is, concerning me. So as Jesus was saying that his life and everything about his life and his death and burial and resurrection, all of it was prophesied, he said, in the Old Testament. And he took them to the Old Testament and said, here it is in the law, here it is in the prophets, here it is in the Psalms concerning me. All right, so the command is to learn of Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 5. Actually, we'll start passing them around again. Brother Scott, if you could read John 5:39. Howard, if you could do Colossians 1:10. Who else can I pick on? Well, obviously, Amber's willing. So, Amber, you do 2 Peter 1:3. And Beryl, 2 Peter 3:18. So these are the commands we see in the New Testament to learn of Jesus. Brother Scott, John 5:39.
Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Testify of me. Isn't that good? Brother Howard, Colossians 1:10.
That ye might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Increasing in the knowledge of God. Amber, 2 Peter 1:3. So it says through the knowledge of Him. So it is our job to continue to know more about Him. Beryl, 2 Peter 3:18. So we're not only growing grace, but we're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. So our 19th commandment, as we're walking through, and these aren't official numbers, of course, is to learn of Jesus. To invest the time to learn more about our wonderful Savior. Because this book is about Him. This book is Him. Amen? He is the Word. All right, so back to Matthew 11 again. After he said that, he says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." So there are two character traits that God wants us to emulate in Jesus Christ specifically, which makes them, as we'll see, commands, that we are to be meek and we are to be lowly. Lowly is another word for humble. And meek and lowly are different. How do we know this? Because Jesus just said so. If meek and lowly were the same thing, why would he say, "I am meek and lowly"? Why would he say I'm the same thing twice? So meekness and humility are two separate character traits. Meekness is more of an inward grace of the soul or a temper of the spirit in which we accept God's dealings as good. And we don't dispute or resist God. So meekness is not weakness, as some people try to say. And the Bible certainly tells us that we are to be meek. As a matter of fact, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, humility is not there, but meekness is. But the fruit of the Spirit is, anybody have it memorized? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. There it is. Meekness. So one of the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to bring through our lives as we yield to the Spirit of God is meekness, that we be meek. Anybody think of an Old Testament character that was his number one trait? The Bible says he was very meek. Not Job. Moses. The Bible says he was the meekest man on the whole earth. And God called him to be the pastor of 3,000 rebels. Imagine that. Meekness. All right, let's look at some scriptures together. We'll pick up where we left off. So Galatians 6:1, Mark Zeus. Ephesians 4:2, Beth. And Maggie, Colossians 3:12. Jackie, 1 Timothy 6:11. Let's see, we'll pick on Brad, 2 Timothy 2:25. And Robin 2, Titus 3, 2. Okay, so we'll start with Galatians 6, 1. I think so.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as in one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, if thou also be tempted.
Amen. The spirit of meekness. Ephesians 4, 2. So again, we see lowliness and meekness teamed up there. Colossians 3:12.
Having the mind of Christ, which is in heaven, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
So again, humility and meekness separate there. 1 Timothy 6:11.
But thou, O man of God, see these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Amen. And then 2 Timothy 2:25. Amen. So we are to instruct the lost in the spirit of meekness. We're also to restore fallen brethren in the spirit of meekness. Isn't that beautiful? And then Titus 3:2. Showing all meekness unto all men. So God wants us to emulate our Savior and to be meek. Then, he also wants us to be lowly. And that'll be number 21. And lowly is another word for humble. So, who would read Matthew? Let's see, we'll start over back over here with Brother Scott. Matthew 18:4. And then Howard, Matthew 23:12. And Amber, Luke 14:11. And Beryl, Luke 18:14. We'll stop there. Brother Scott?
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
That was Matthew 18:4. And then Matthew 23:12, Howard?
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself.
Amen. And then Luke 14:11. Amber?
For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
And Luke 18:14, Beryl.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth him shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
You think God wants us to humble ourselves? Pretty clear, isn't it? Mark Zeus, Ephesians 4:2, Beth, Philippians 2:3, and Doug, Colossians 3:12. So Mark Zeus, Ephesians 4:2.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Amen. Philippians 2:3, Beth? Lowliness of mind. And then Colossians 3:12, Doug.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and suffering.
Amen. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then 1 Peter 5:5, we'll turn there for the last one. So this is commandment number 21, that we are to be humble. You'll be seeing a lot of character traits. We've already read a bunch of them in some of these other verses that we'll get to. These are ways that we are to emulate Christ. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. So God wants us to be humble or lowly, just like our Savior was. And if anyone had the right to not be humble, it would have been Jesus. Amen? Because he was perfect and he is God. But he was setting an example for us of meekness and lowliness during his ministry here on the earth. So he says, I want you to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So any questions about those before we go to Matthew 12? And look at number 22, which is a big one. All right, Matthew 12, verses 34 to 37, Brad, introduce us to watching our tongue. So Matthew 12, 34 to 37, commandment 22 is to watch the tongue.
Out of the abundance of the heart. good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, I shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
So Jesus says, we will give account for every idle word. Praise God for salvation. But we aren't even going to be looking at Proverbs because we're only looking at New Testament. But we all know that there are entire chapters in Proverbs that focus on just watching the tongue. But there are also heaps of New Testament verses about watching the tongue, as we'll see. Well, we'll start here again, Brother Scott, Luke 6:45, Howard, Romans 1:29 and 30. And Beryl, 1 Corinthians 6:10, and Mark Zeus, Ephesians 4:29. So let's start there. Brother Scott, Luke 6:45.
A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
Amen. And then Romans 1:29 and 30, Howard.
Being filled with all unrighteous mortification, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despitefulness, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents.
This is one of those Bible lists that tells us how wonderful we are. Why we need salvation. Amen. Did you notice how many of them involved the tongue? So which one of those involved the tongue, and just in those two verses? Did you see any of them involved the tongue? Anybody?
Maliciousness.
Okay, maliciousness, that's a tongue thing. What else? Debate. Whisperers, we do that with our tongue. How about backbiters? That's with our tongue. Boasters, we do that with our tongue. So God here is giving us one of our lists of how bad we really are, and our tongue is a big part of it, as we see. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:10. That word revilers, we do that with our tongue. And then Ephesians 4:29, Mark.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
That kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? No corrupt communication out of your mouth. That's pretty specific. And then the next two verses down, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. So evil speaking. All right, so Ephesians 5:4, we'll just stay in Ephesians, quickly turn over there to the next chapter. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So again, warning us about our tongue. All right, we'll move on. Colossians 3:8, Beth. Colossians 4:6, Maggie. 1 Timothy 1:10, Jackie. And Brad, James 1:26. All right, Beth. Colossians 3:8.
But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth.
Filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 4:6, Maggie. So again, our speech is to be seasoned with grace. 1 Timothy 1:10, Jackie.
For whoremongers, for men that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to God.
It's that little word, liars. James 1:26.
Religious,
So he's saying that our religion is vain if we don't bridle what? Our tongue. So a lot of warnings about the tongue, but the biggest one is in James chapter 3. Let's turn over there, where he devotes almost an entire chapter to warning us about our tongue. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that we will give account in the day of judgment for what we speak. James is starting in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue cannot no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Those are some pretty strong words, but set on the fire of hell. That's God's description of our tongue. Isn't it interesting that he mentioned his creation? A lot of you probably have a dog or a cat. They don't get themselves in trouble with what they say, do they? Well, maybe the dogs bark too much sometimes, but they're not like us, where we say the wrong thing. And he's, of course, we were created in God's image, but he gave us the ability to communicate that with our tongue, but it also is a lot of power. Yes.
So we talk about the tongue there, but isn't it the condition of man's heart?
Absolutely.
And in talking about that, so you can have, say we're talking about Christians.
Yes.
Variety of Christians, different heart conditions. They're all reading the word, or some are and some aren't, and so forth. So the answer is in the word.
Always.
Yeah, always in the word. But there must be something in the individual for them to obviously gain it out of the word.
Yeah, the only way to fix it is to fix the heart. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if the mouth is giving you troubles, it's not your mouth, it's the heart that's giving you troubles. And it's the heart that needs repaired, if you will, through God's word. Very true.
That in a sense is a discipline in itself. So is a discipline, is that hard?
Discipline? Ultimately it is, yes.
All I'm just trying to say is, okay, it's in the word of God, the answer's in the word of God. So if we're meant to be in the word of God, the discipline is in, say, get up at 5 in the morning or really doing that regularly inside and out.
Yep.
So forth and sense. Is that a hard issue?
It is.
That's a hard issue.
It's always a hard issue. Yep. Discipline is a hard issue. And the tongue is a hard issue, as Jesus said. Yep. So and some people, you know, they get saved later in life, and so they have to struggle with other things, just the habit of speaking wrongly or swearing or whatever. And that takes discipline too. But again, it has to happen in here, doesn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it's the heart that needs the work. But what James is saying is our tongue, more than any other member, is going to get us into more trouble than anything else. And we all know that to be true, don't we? If Christians have hurt other Christians, in 99.9% of the case, it wasn't because they punched each other. It wasn't a physical hurt. It was with the tongue, wasn't it? And Proverbs has a lot to say about that as well, about hurting one another and friends being divided and hurt and so forth. So it's definitely a hard issue, But it, like Mark said, it takes discipline to control the tongue. James 4:11, we'll look at a couple more and then we'll probably be done. But James says here in 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And that's God's job. That's what he's saying. Don't step into God's role. And then over in 1 Peter 2:1, we'll just look at two more scriptures. But there's no question that one of our commandments that we have to follow is to control and watch the tongue. What we say, think before you speak. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So there it is again. And then 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Solomon actually told us to think before we speak. Proverbs 29:11, turn there and then we'll be done. One of my favorite verses on the tongue. And this, I think, is where that saying comes from. He says, Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Isn't that good? A fool just blabs everything, but a wise man waits before he speaks. He speaks afterward. And there's another verse in Proverbs, and I can't remember where it is. I think it's in chapter 25. Where it talks about he that holdeth his peace is counted wise. In other words, if you just keep your mouth shut, people will think you're wise, even though you may not be. It comes across as wisdom. I don't remember where it is. It's in Proverbs. There's just too many references in Proverbs. 17:27-28. Is that it? Yes, 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I love that one too. Yes, Beth? Yes, there's probably 40 scriptures in Proverbs about the tongue, if not more. Matter of fact, I believe the majority of chapter 10... and 11 are about the tongue. So, commandment 22, watch the tongue. We'll quickly introduce 23 because it's a standard one. It's one of the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. Matthew 15, verse 4. And it'll be repeated in the New Testament, which makes it a commandment we have to follow. And that is God commanded, saying, what? Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. The Jews have come up with ways of trying to avoid this commandment and play games, if you will. But this is the fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is definitely a command of the New Testament, because Ephesians 6:2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Of the Ten Commandments, the reason he says that is, as you're walking through the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, when you get to number 5, it doesn't just give the commandment, but then he gives that promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's what he means when he says the first commandment with promise, that has a promise attached to it. So that's number 23, is Ten Commandment number 5, honor your parents. And as I shared, we will see 9 of the 10 commandments repeated in the New Testament? Why only 9? Anybody remember? The Sabbath is not repeated in the New Testament. To obey the Sabbath. And there's a reason for that. And that's because that commandment was a sign between God and Israel. That's a Jewish commandment. And we are not Jews. Therefore, we are not bound to keep the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists try to say, yes, but if you look in the book of Acts, the disciples went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day to preach. Well, that was because the Jews were all gathered together to be preached to. That is not proof that we have to assemble on the Sabbath day. Or that we even have to observe the Sabbath rules, which are all nailed to the cross. Amen? All right, but that was trivia. We'll get there. Number 23, honor your parents. Next week, we will look at number 24, which is to avoid evil thoughts. So now we have to not only make sure our tongue is under control, but our thought life is under control. And we'll look at that next week. Any thoughts or questions up through number 23 of our unknown number of commandments?